by verse number one. This is going to be a passage that deals with prayer. Very important. So hope the Lord will speak to us today. In fact, why don't we go to him again before we start? Heavenly Father, we come to you again because we know how important it is, how much you desire to hear from us and to have us trust you, that we might bring all of our needs and cares to you, knowing that you're giving us your ear and you care about us and you want to hear from us on a regular basis, not just every now and then. Help us, Lord, to see how important this is and show us what should be included in our prayer when we come to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, Luke chapter 11, beginning at verse number 1. We'll just read the passage first, and then we'll go back and talk about each one of these. Verse 1, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, that's Jesus praying, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Okay, obviously, you can see this is a passage on prayer, and it's one of the good ones here. And we'll look at this. We'll note some things about prayer today. And the first thing I like about this passage is in verse number 1, it says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, okay, he finished his prayer, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Now, what you need to notice, we look at these things carefully, okay? A lot of times you read through something so fast, you think it means something else. But notice that the disciples did not ask, teach us how to pray. They didn't say, Lord, teach us how to pray because we don't know how to pray. He said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to do it. Tell us, instruct us, show us not how to do it, but to do it. Okay, there's a story about a man. He was a missionary back in the 1800s. I forgot his name, but he was a man that was just known far and wide as a great man of prayer. And that's why they invited him. He was invited to come to this preacher's conference and bring them a message on prayer. And they had different speakers come in. He was there in that meeting. And when it came time, his time and his turn to preach, and everyone was all filled with anticipation, you know, just waiting to hear this mighty man of prayer open the scripture and expound upon the great Bible truths regarding prayer. And they said this man walked up to the platform and he just stood there looking around the room into the faces of each and every person, thousands of people. Now, that took some time, just looking at all those people in their eyes. And then, you know, it took a very long time. And he made eye contact. Once he knew he had everybody's attention, they said all he did was he raised his hand and he said, "Do it." And then he went and sat down. He was done. That was the important message on prayer, is that you just do it. That's the message. Because you know how to talk. You know how to speak. You know how to communicate. They didn't say, "Lord, teach us how to pray," because they knew how. They said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And the thing that hinders your prayer life is not a lack of knowledge or a lack of understanding or a lack of knowing how to put the right words together. No, most of the time it's just a lazy, carnal spirit that trusts in self or just doesn't care enough to take the time to go to the Lord. And we just don't pray. And so the disciples of Jesus, they didn't ask Jesus to teach them how to pray. They asked him to teach them to pray, just to do it. Verse number 2, "And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven." Okay, now he's not telling them that these are the only words that you can ever use in prayer. And if you don't pray using these very words, you are sinning and you're out of the will of God. He's not saying anything like that. Because, you know, if you read your Bible, you find out Jesus, he prays all the time. And we have some of his praying recorded in Scripture, especially in John chapter 17. One time he was praying in the garden. He didn't say, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," when he prayed. He said, "Oh, my Father." He didn't say, "Our Father." He said, "My Father." He's got a different relationship than we do. He's got a different relationship than those disciples did. So he said, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." See, so he's not saying, Jesus is not instructing and telling his disciples, you must repeat these words, these very words, every time you pray. And if you use any other words, you're out of the will of God and it's not true prayer. No, he's not saying that. He is laying down some principles here. And so he says, first of all, principle number one, who is it that you are to pray to? Your Father. Your Father. You don't pray to your mother. You don't waste any of your time praying to Mary. You don't pray to any saints. You don't go through any man or any intermediary, such as a priest or a minister or a rabbi. When you pray, you talk to the Father. You go directly to the source of power, directly to the source of blessing, and you speak to God as your Father. Now, here's the wonderful thing about being saved. I don't go to some far-off unknown deity. I don't go to some power. I don't go to some untouchable, unknowable God. I am going as a child who's coming to a Father. And that's a blessing. You know that? Not only that, but notice what Jesus says. He doesn't say, "Our Father which art in a confessional booth." He says, "Our Father which art in heaven." I got a Father, and he's up there in heaven. I know who my Father is. Now, I've got an earthly Father. He begat me in the flesh. I've got a heavenly Father that begat me after the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And that fella that you've got running around in a dress, wearing that dress, I don't know who he thinks he is, but he's not my Father. And he's kidding himself if he thinks I'm going to address him as Holy Father. My Father is in heaven, and that's who I pray to. I go directly to heaven. I go directly to whom? My closest relation in all this universe, my Heavenly Father, that gave me the new birth and that begat me by the word of his power. Now that's an important starting place, because you see, the foundation of my entire prayer life, my access to God, my being heard of God, my hope of being answered by God, all of that is dependent upon that relationship that I have with God. Father and son, that relationship. Parent and child. The foundation of prayer, the foundation of answered prayer, is my relationship with God. Amen. You hear people say all the time, well, you know, I just don't pray much because, well, I'm just not worthy and I don't live that good a life. Well, then repent and clean up. Clean up your life. Well, I just don't pray that much because I just don't know if God would hear me and I just don't know if God would answer. Why don't you try him out? Lay aside all of those excuses, whatever they are. Lay aside all of your alibis. Pray to your Father who is in heaven. That's the foundation. That's the first and primary thing here. And he says, hallowed be thy name. Let me give you the definition of hallowed. To reverence, to honor as sacred. Okay, hallow, reverence, respect, fear, worship. Okay, he's not the man upstairs. Don't ever. That's not the big daddy on the throne, okay? That's not, hey pops, it's me. No. I mean, I get so sick and tired of hearing God being talked about like he's some guy that you play sports with or something. That is the almighty ancient of days you're going to, the creator of the universe. That is God Almighty you're talking to. And so you better reverence his name. You better hallow his name. You'd better treat him with respect and dignity. That's important. Amen. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Okay, so I've got to make up my mind before I pray. I got to make up my mind before I ever go to God that if I'm going there for selfish reasons, if I'm going there just to gratify my own desires, if I'm going there just to get what I can for me, then I'm just wasting my time. And that's the truth. Because God is not interested in those kinds of prayers. He doesn't pay any attention to that kind of prayer. Okay, doesn't bother with them for 1 minute. I'm going to talk to a Father in heaven, a holy and righteous God who is interested, yes, in making my life blessed, making my family blessed, making this church blessed, making this world a blessed place. And let me tell you something, they don't have any problems up there in heaven. They don't have any trouble up there in heaven. There's no splits, no divisions, no sickness, sorrow, no pain, no death. There's no problems up there in heaven. And you know why? Because everybody up there in heaven is doing exactly what God wants done. His will is done. Now, things are done his way. People live his way. People think his way. People talk his way. And we want God to bless us as we do things our own way. God, this is what I want to do. This is how I want to live. This is the way I want to spend my time and my money. And I want you to bless it. Forget it, pal. If your will is not God's will, if your desire is not God's desire, you are wasting your time. Jesus said, when you pray, this is what I want you to do. This is the whole object of prayer. It is bringing your desires in line with God's desires. It's bringing your will in line with God's, with the Father's will. It's bringing your wants in line with what God wants. Making them match. Amen. A man shared a testimony one time about prayer. He said, you know, I can tell you the truth. I have never in my life, since I've been saved, never prayed a prayer that God hasn't given me an answer to that prayer exactly as I asked it. He said, but I'll be honest with you. I haven't prayed for many things. Haven't asked for many things. Because what I do first, I spend many days thinking about something before I ask God for it. And most of the time I find out that it's not something that God wants me to have. And so I don't even bother asking for it. He said, but after I think about it, and after I read the Bible, after I talk it over with my wife, if I believe it's something that really is what God wants for me, then I go to Him as my Father and I ask for it. And I've gotten everything I've ever asked from God. Because, why? Because He knew it was God's will when He asked it. Thy will be done. As in heaven, so in earth. Whenever Brother Roloff, Lester Roloff, used to pray, he'd get down on his knees and he'd say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in this piece of earth as it is in heaven. He wasn't worried about the entire globe. He was worried about that body of clay that he was living in that was formed and fashioned from what? From the dust of the ground. He said, in this piece of earth as it is in heaven. I like that. I like it. You know, you want to get your prayers answered? Do you want God to hear and hear you and grant your petitions and your desires? Well, then make sure you're asking according to His will. Not asking Him to change His will and to line it up with your will. That's never going to work. Verse 3, give us enough daily bread for the next 20 years so that we don't have to worry or trust your work. No. You know what Jesus said? He said, pray for enough bread to get you through this day. Because if you got enough bread for tomorrow, you're liable to forget to lean on God tomorrow. Pray for enough bread for this day, because if I give you enough bread for the next 5 or 10 years, you're liable to go after the bread instead of seeking after the Lord. So he said, you just be content. Be content. Just have you got enough bread right there in front of you? Thank God for it. Be satisfied. And when time for the next meal rolls around, God will take care of it. I mean, you ought to read before you leave this world. You ought to read the journal of George Mueller and read about sitting down at those great dinner tables with 300 and 400 and 500 orphans and not one crumb of food in that entire orphanage. And all those children bowing their heads and Mr. Mueller leading in prayer and asking God for their daily bread. And having a knock come at the door because a bakery truck just broke down outside the front door. Have a knock come at the door while they're praying because a dairy man whose wheel just fell off of his cart can't get his milk to market, and it's going to spoil. and in they come. You know, having a knock come on the door and someone coming in and saying, I was impressed of God just this morning to go and buy all these groceries for all these children. You just ought to read how God provided, not for a week, not for a year, not for a month, but day by day, daily bread for those that trusted him. I believe God is still in that business to this day. You know, back in the Old Testament time, as God led his people out, he redeemed them by blood. He led them out of Egypt, baptized them unto Moses, going down there through that Red Sea. He's leading them on the way to the promised land. And you know what that Bible says? Every morning, every night, manna, bread from heaven, bread came down from God out of heaven. Enough for what? For that day. Not enough for 2 days, except for on that Sabbath day. Okay? Not enough for a week, not enough for a month. He sent down just enough so that every man could eat to his full. And you know what happened if they tried to keep a little extra so that they didn't have to go out and work the next day? The Bible says that manna bred worms and stank. They couldn't do it. You know why? God wasn't going to let any of them get lazy. God wasn't going to let any of them take a free ride. God wasn't going to let any of them forget that every single day they were dependent on him for their food and for their provisions. Now, you know why you've got revivals going on in places like China and West Africa and, yeah, even parts of the Philippines. You know why that happens? Because those are people who they have to get up every single day and seek the face of God, or else they're going to go to bed hungry. You know why you don't have revival in places like America? You don't have revival in Europe? Because they got money laid up. They got bread laid up, and it's breeding worms, and it stinks. That's why. So Jesus said, I want you to pray every single day for your daily bread. Amen? I don't know about you, but man, I read these missionary letters and missionary stories, and I realize I ought not to even take a drink of water without thanking God for that. You realize how many people there are in the world today that don't even have a drink of water? I didn't even say clean water. They didn't have any kind of water. You ought to see some of those places in Somalia. Look it up on the internet. Print out one of those pictures, and the next time somebody talks to you about socialism and communism, or you ought to share your wealth, pull out one of those pictures and show them what that results in. It doesn't work. Amen. Give us day by day our daily bread. And you know why those people are starving over there? Because God isn't feeding them. You know what? If God doesn't feed you, you starve. Verse 4, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. It's kind of a conditional thing then, isn't it? I'll tell you right now, there's plenty of verses, and the Lord makes it real clear. If you are not right with your brother, then you are not right with God. If you are holding anything against your brother, you are holding that grudge, you are holding that bitterness, you're holding that resentment, you're carrying that unforgiveness in your heart, God's holding that against you. He says that over and over and over again. So you better get that thing right. He says in 1 John, how can you love God, a God that you haven't even seen, if you don't love your brother whom you have seen? Better make that thing right. Leave that gift at the altar. Go make that thing right with your brother. Then come back to God so he can hear you, so he will hear you. And you know this is the truth. There are people right now, people that have not missed a church service in the last 10 years, and they have not gotten a single prayer through to God in all that time, that whole 10 years. They're still mad at a brother, still mad at a sister in Christ about something. You all know somebody like that. I hope you're not one. That unforgiving spirit is going to hinder your prayer life. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians 4, 26 and 27, be ye angry. So it's not a sin to be angry. It's going to happen. But it says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You get it straightened out before that sun goes down. Don't go to bed mad. Get the forgiveness taken care of first. And then the next verse says, neither give place to the devil. That's what you're doing when you hold that grudge. Devil loves that. Okay? When you refuse to forgive somebody, you're just giving the devil what he wants. Because he knows you're ruining your relationship and you're closing your lines of communication with God by doing that. Don't give him what he wants. There was a guy preaching, and he said that they had built a church building and they didn't have the money yet for the air conditioning. So they went a couple of years in that church with no air conditioning. But a couple of years later, they hired some guys to go up there and put that AC in and install the air conditioning. And they're up there in the ceiling doing all the duct work. And the preacher came in and went up there. He said, how's it going up here, fellas? And they said, we can't move up here. There's no room up here. The preacher said, why? What's the matter? And they said, well, all these prayers are getting in the way. They're all stuck up here. There's no room for us to even move around up here. These prayers, they haven't gone out of the building. Now, you know what he was saying? Those prayers, they hadn't gotten past that ceiling, past the roof of that church. And you know why? It was because of bitterness. It was because of hardness of heart, grudges, and bad feelings against brothers, against sisters in Christ. Jesus said, if you're going to pray, you better make those things right. You got to get those things cleared up. And he says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So he's saying, now you remember about me, I got baptized in the Jordan River, and then what happened? I got led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He said, I handled that. And you might not be able to handle something like that. So your best bet is if you better just pray and ask God not to lead you into temptation. You say, Brother Bob, do you think you're a strong Christian? I don't know, but I'd rather not find out. I read those books. I've read them about Richard Wurmbrand being tortured for his faith. And I tell you, I think I could handle being executed for Jesus. You know, just put my head on the chopping block, get it over with, line me up for a firing squad, shoot me, I'm dead, that's fine. I can handle that, but if I had to endure 10 years of bamboo shoots under the toenails or something, and 10 years of having my hairs pulled out one by one, having my joints put in that thumb screw and all those other tortures they did, I don't know if I could handle that. Don't want to know. Just shoot me, man. Shoot me. I can handle that. I don't know about that other thing. So I prayed to the Lord that I never have to find out. Lead us not into temptation. I don't know about you, but I'm not looking for a hero's badge. I'd rather just get home the easy way to glory. And so Jesus said to pray that. So that means there's nothing wrong with praying that. I'll talk to you about this parable here in just a second. But just a couple of extra things here about prayer before we do. There was a woman in a hospital. She asked one time, what is it to pray? And our English language has degenerated now to the point where people don't know what a word really means. But, you know, people used to sit down at the dinner table and they would say, "I pray thee, pass the salt, please." Well, what were you doing? What are you saying? You were asking someone to pass the salt. Right? You were communicating. You were speaking as someone who needed something that you knew the other person had. Okay? And you were speaking to them. You were saying, "I pray thee, pass the salt. I pray thee, would you have me excused? I pray thee, hand me that songbook." Okay? And that's all prayer is. It's talking to God. As the one, you're coming to God as the one who's in need, talking to God as the one who recognizes, you recognize that he's the one that can meet that need, because he has the provision. He can provide what you're asking. He has the means to provide what you need. And so I'm glad for anybody that prays. If someone prays, that's wonderful. But a lot of God's people don't talk to God. They don't talk to God because they can't do what they think prayer is. They got the wrong idea of what prayer is. And I guess the best way to explain that is to try to demonstrate. It's not going to be easy for me. But here's an example. James, my brother, would you give me that pen, Brother James? And people got this idea. That's what you got to do. That's what you got to sound like. And they said, "I can't do that." Well, no kidding. Nobody asked you to do that. Nobody expects you to do that. Why didn't I just say, "Brother James, would you please hand me that pen?" That would have been the sensible thing to do. He's not deaf. I don't have to talk in some kind of weird voice to get him to answer. And if he's your friend, all you got to do is say, "James, will you please pass me that pen?" And he'll hand you that pen. But people got this idea that when they go to God, they got to say, "Oh, God, I want you to heal me, God." And people, that's going to scare some people. They're not going to want to put themselves out there like that, and they don't have to. Okay? You think God is deaf or something? Maybe he's getting hard of hearing because he's so old, right? He's been around such a long time. I think he can hear you all right. Okay? And I wonder sometimes if the Lord doesn't say, "Huh, what's that? What's going on down there? That doesn't sound like him." I was waiting for Brother Bob to pray, but I don't recognize that voice. You know, do you know who that is? See, God, he's not impressed with that stuff. I mean, if you're pressed in the Spirit, sure. And the fervor of your petition calls upon you to raise your voice, you just get excited. Well, that's fine. But don't go out there trying to put on a show for God. He's not impressed with that stuff. "Hey, angels, come here. Look at this one. Wow, listen to the way he says God." Huh. Hey, the Lord's ear is not waxed dull that he cannot hear. He can hear you. He can hear you even if you don't speak. He can hear your thoughts. Now, if you want to holler, go ahead, holler. If you want to yell, yell. But if you think God is going to hear you just because you pray in a special kind of or tone of voice, or you give it a special kind of twist or emphasis, you're just kidding yourself. The Lord's much more interested in hearing from your heart, not from your head. Now, if your heart prompts you to pray in a certain manner, that's wonderful. But if that's something you came up from, you came up with it from your little old head, and you thought you came to God thinking, "Wow, God's really going to be impressed. I'm really going to get an answer if I pray like this." Forget it. You really think you can fool God? Huh? Let me try another one on you, James. You have to excuse me. I don't practice that stuff. But, you know, what am I going to say? Oh, I just know I asked for a pen. Really? You know that? Are you sure that's what you asked for? Is he sure? Does he have a clue what you just asked him for? Okay. You think Brother James is going to give me a pen after I do something like that? Why don't I just say, Brother James, would you hand me that pen, please? Oh, I know I really got through to God. Really? How do you know that? Oh, because I don't have the slightest idea what I just said. How do you know you weren't saying, Satan, come possess the dog so he'll come bite me when I go to work tomorrow? How do you know you're not blaspheming God because Satan put those things in your head? You don't know that. Okay? You're really just kind of hoping that you were talking to God because somebody told you that that was talking to God. Isn't that right? You don't know that. You're just hoping that's what you were doing. Seems to me, I read in my Bible that you're speaking to the air. And if anybody walks in and hears that stuff going on, they suddenly got transported into barbarian land. They're going to think you've gone mad. Now, if I want a pen, what do? I come to James. I hope we have such a relationship that is such that if I just say, James, could I have that pen? That his love for me will prompt him to give me that pen, not just because of the way I asked, not because of the tone of my voice when I asked, but because of our relationship. I think a lot of people are trying to make up for a bad relationship with God by a dynamic presentation of their prayer. If God is your Father and you are his child and he loves you and you love him, he's going to hear and answer. He'll answer you on the basis of that relationship, not on the basis of how you pray. Like I said, you might find yourself in some floor-stomping, table-pounding praying sometimes without having intended that. If it comes from the heart, have at it. But man, if it comes from the head, I'm warning you, you ought to stay away from that. You ought to read 1 Kings chapter 8. Solomon goes out on the front, out there in front of the people. He stands up. He spreads his hands before them. He lifts up his voice to heaven and just begins to pray. And when you get to the end of that chapter, by the time Solomon says amen, he's on his face lying prostrate on that platform before God. So what happened? I don't know what happened, but I do know Solomon didn't walk out there and say, okay, now here's what we're going to do. For dramatic effect, we'll do it just like this. You understand what I'm saying? Don't be an actor. Don't be an actress. Be yourself. Approach God as yourself. Okay, if you get emotional, okay, that's fine. If you get loud, fine. If you get teary, that's fine. But don't think that a show is going to impress the Lord. Don't think that he's going to answer you because he's overwhelmed by the way that you pray. In fact, it may be just the opposite, as we'll read down here in just a minute. Have any of you ever told your children, if you ask me that again, you're not getting it? I mean, you've got every intention of giving it to them, and you even told them you would give it to them, but you know, now they just won't stop. They're about to drive you cuckoo. Now, you know something? If I've got something in here that it's in the Bible, I know it's the will of God. God, I know it's something that God promised me, and I go and I claim that promise, and I ask God. I ask God for that. Well, faith says that it's a done deal. Faith doesn't have to keep going and tugging at the hem of his garment and saying, Did you forget? Did you forget? God, did you forget? Do you think he forgets? You think God forgets what you ask him for? Not possible. I mean, if he did, that's the first thing he ever forgot, except for your sins. Amen. Praise God. I mean, hey, what did he say about that? He said, I'll remember them no more. Amen. But God doesn't forget. He's faithful as promised. Okay, now we'll look at this story that starts in verse 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. I like that word. I always like when people come to me and ask if they can borrow something. It started out in school. Can I borrow a piece of paper? Borrow? You know you're never going to get that piece of paper back. And then you get it at work. I need to borrow some of these work supplies. Really? Borrow? Planning on putting them back, are you? But anyway, this fellow comes, he says, lend me 3 loaves. I want to borrow 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Okay, now that's the basis of our prayer, isn't it? What's the bread? The word of God. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, but he's called the word of God in John chapter 1, isn't he? And the good seed is the word of God. So it's all connected. Jesus, the word, you know, okay. That's what your friends need. What's what you need for your friends. And you know, we've got friends, they're coming all the time in our journey. And the truth of the matter is, we've got nothing to give them. You and I, we don't have it. Okay? We've got to get it from God. We've got to get it from heaven. We got nothing to feed those people. We got nothing to minister to their spiritual hunger if we don't go to God to get it. Amen? And so he asks for that bread. Verse 7, and he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Okay, now, all the commentators, they try and excuse God here. That's never a good idea. But they say, well, Jesus didn't mean what he said here. He's just trying to give you a picture. Well, I believe he means exactly what he says. He's saying, this man came, he knocked on the door, and the fellow on the other side of the door said, no. And he just kept knocking on the door. He wouldn't take no for an answer until finally he got what he desired. Okay? Now, I'm not contradicting what I just said a minute ago. Okay, when you pray according to the will of God and God gives you peace in your heart, you can take that and go with it. Don't need to keep worrying about it. Don't need to keep reminding God about it. Okay? He gave you peace. You know it's in his will. But if you pray and you believe you're in the will of God and you don't see an answer and you don't have assurance and you don't have that peace in your heart, then stay after him. Not necessarily until God gives the answer, but until he gives you that certainty in your heart that the answer is on the way. I'll be honest with you. I would love to see my brother and my sister saved. But it's been a long, long time since I worried about it. Because the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I've given my brother and my sister the gospel. I've asked the Holy Spirit of God to convict their hearts. I've prayed and asked the Lord, Lord, if I can't win them, would you send somebody else who can? And since I know from the Word of God that that's God's will that they be saved, hey, it's in His hands. I'm not worried about it. I'm not losing any sleep at all over the lost condition of my loved ones. I've told them. I've prayed for them. I've put it in the hands of God. And He will take care of it. I don't have to lose sleep over it. Now, there's other things that come along, like little church troubles that come up from time to time, little health problems that come up from time to time, family things that come up from time to time, and you pray about those things, and you're not really sure about what God wants to do or how He's going to do it or when. So you just keep coming and say, I need some manna from heaven. I need some bread from heaven. My soul isn't yet satisfied. I've still got a hunger for an answer to this problem, and I need some bread. The Bible says the Lord will answer. Just stay with it till you get that peace of God which passeth all understanding. Verse number 9. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And there is what is called an acrostic built into this verse here. You take the first letter of the key words in the verse here, and it spells out another word that helps you to remember those words. Jesus said, ask, seek, knock. A-S-K. Ask. I ask. If I don't get the answer, then what do? I keep asking. Okay? I ask. If I don't get the answer, you know what I might have to do then? I may have to seek. I may have to look and find out, is this God's will? What is God's will concerning what I'm asking? Maybe I'm not asking according to God's will. Maybe I'm not praying in accordance with His word. I may have to seek and then resubmit that petition. And if I've done that, I've searched the scriptures, I find out that what I'm asking is in accord with God's will, then I got to consider something else. I need to consider whether there might be some sin in my life that might be hindering my prayer from getting that answer that I want. What did the Lord say in verse 4? Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Why? Because if we don't forgive others, it will hinder our prayer. There's one hindrance. Is there someone you've not forgiven? Okay. You know what else the Bible says in Peter's epistle? It says, if you and your husband or you and your wife are not getting along as God intended, your prayers are not going to get answered. They'll be hindered. If you're not right with your spouse, you're not right with God. You know what else he said in the book of Psalms? He said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I regard iniquity. To regard, that is to give it a place to reside there. You say, this sin, I'll keep it. It's okay. It's not that bad. You've regarded iniquity. God's not going to hear you. Okay? And so I know I'm doing that thing that's wrong. I know I'm committing that. I know I'm perpetually committing this certain sin that I know God is against. Okay? And I know I'm doing something that God does not like. But I'm just going to kind of ignore it for a minute while I pray this prayer and hope that God won't bring it up. Hey, it's that sin you hope God doesn't notice, it is in the way. It's in the way of your prayer. You're not going to get an answer. You got to knock that thing down. And so I ask, and if I don't get an answer, I seek. Is it God's will? And if it is, I come and I ask again. And if I don't get an answer, I find out what's the hindrance. What is that hindrance? When I find out what it is, I knock it down. I get it out of the way. And I come again. And I ask again. And the Father says he will answer. It just may require a little effort on my part to get that prayer just the way it needs to be. Notice what he says in verse 10. For everyone that asketh receiveth what he asked for. Is that what the Bible says? That's not what the Bible says. He that seeketh findeth what he was seeking. That's not what the Bible says. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Now what did he say? He said, everyone that asketh receiveth. He didn't say you'd receive what you asked for. He said you would receive. And that's the hard thing to accept sometimes, isn't it? Amen? Hey, here's a kid. He's out here praying. God, let me preach. God, let me preach. God, let me preach. I want to preach to thousands and thousands of people. And the Holy Spirit says, all right, go preach out there on the street corner in downtown Manila. Take your Bible out there and get in that public place and preach to thousands of people. And the kid says, oh, no, no, no. I mean, I wanted a big church. The Holy Spirit says, well, that's not what you asked for. I'm answering, you're receiving. There's thousands of people out there passing by you on that street corner. Okay? Amen. The fellow says, Lord, I want a jail ministry. And so he gets arrested for cocaine that somebody planted in his hubcaps. And he says, Lord, this isn't what I asked for. Yes, it is. You asked for a jail ministry. You got it. Now, Jesus didn't promise, and we'll read down here in just a minute. He didn't promise he'd give you just exactly what you asked for. He said, everyone that asketh receiveth. Okay? Now, is God God? Does he know best, do you think? Is he all wise? Is he all knowing? Okay, then part of prayer is not just presenting my request. Part of prayer is trusting God enough to take the answer that he gives me, for me to receive what he gives. Okay, the receiving tells just as much or more about your spiritual character than the asking does. Okay, he says in verse 11, Luke 11:11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? Okay, did any of you feed your children rocks for dinner? Mom, I want some toast. Toast, forget it. Here's a seashell. I don't think so. Okay. Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? What's for dinner tonight? Live rattlesnakes. Hope you like them. Nobody's that sick. Nobody's that perverted. Even unsaved people don't go that far unless they're completely possessed of the devil. And then Jesus says, or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Well, I don't know about you. I don't think I'd like to try scorpion. I like eggs. 13, if ye then, being evil, what a way to talk to people. Jesus says, if ye then, being evil, you see what he's saying? He's saying, you guys aren't any good, but you treat your kids right. You guys, you're selfish, but you look out for your children. How much more a loving, wise, caring God? How much more shall your Father in heaven give good things to those that ask him? Now, if any of you ever had children, you know, if it's a choice between a good, balanced meal or a bowl of ice cream with some cookies on the side, you know what those kids are going to prefer. They want the ice cream. They want the cookies. Okay, they'll sit there. They'll play around with those vegetables. I don't like them. Okay, let them sit there for a few minutes until they're cold vegetables. Then we'll see how you like them, pal. You'll like them even less, I guarantee you. Just play around with them a little bit. You know, build some little towers out of them and get your fork and, you know, drive a motorboat through your mashed potatoes and gravy. I mean, play around with it all you want, but you are going to eat it because you need it. It's good for you. I don't like it. I didn't ask you if you did like it. I told you to eat it. It's not good. It's going to be worse if you don't eat it. Eat your food. I'm not hungry. Oh, well, we've got ice cream. Oh, yeah, I want some ice cream. No, you said you're not hungry. What do you mean you want ice cream? You couldn't possibly want ice cream. You're not hungry. See, they are hungry. They're just lying because they don't want to eat those vegetables. Amen. But anyway, what I'm telling you is you love your children, so you don't let them eat what they want to eat. You give them what you know is good for them. Right? You know that's what you do. Now, you got a father in heaven that's a lot wiser than you are, a lot wiser than I am. And when you listen to the prayer lives of most people, you know, it's God make me well. God make me rich. God cause everybody to like me. God make me well. God make me rich. God cause everybody to like me. God make me well. God make me rich. God make everybody like me. You know what? Your spiritual life would be just as sick on a diet of that stuff as these kids would be on a diet of ice cream and cookies, I guarantee you. It wouldn't be long before you'd be good for nothing. So you know what the Lord does? He says, ice cream? No, artichokes. We say, Lord, I want cookies. And the Lord says, well, what'd you say? You want turnip greens? Okay, here you go, turnips. This isn't what I wanted. This isn't what I asked for. God, this isn't what I prayed for. The Lord said, eat it. It's good for you. Lord, this isn't what I wanted. This isn't what I asked for. The Lord says, if you don't quit your crying, I'm going to put a whipping on your behind and you're still going to eat it. You're just going to have a sore bottom while you eat it. Amen. You say, I don't believe God's like that. I do. I do. You know what he is? He is a father. You know what I am? I'm a child. God's child. And children don't have sense enough to know what's best for them. That's why God gives them moms and dads. God's children don't have sense enough to know what's good for them. That's why we have a heavenly Father. And he wants to hear our prayers, and he wants us to talk with him, but he's not always going to give us the thing that we asked for. He's going to give us what he knows is best. Amen. When I was a boy, whenever I'd fall down and tear big old holes in my pants, my knees, my mom would go out and buy me a brand new pair of patches. Not pants, not new pants, but patches to cover up the holes in my old pants. And those patches, sometimes they would match the pants and sometimes they'd stand out and look real funny on the pants. And so I'd complain about the way it looked. I'd say, I look stupid wearing these, Mom. None of the other kids have to wear pants with patches. Why do I have to go to school wearing these funny looking pants? I don't want these patches. I look stupid. And I'd go to school and I'd fall down like I always do and fall on my knees again, and guess what? the pants didn't tear that time. And my mom would say, see there, good thing you had those patches. And I'd say, what? I don't care. I don't like the way they look. She was more concerned with what was right than with the way something looked. Amen. I know a lot of our, you know, a lot of our prayers, when you get right down to it, we're concerned with the way things look and not the way things really are. A lot of times the Lord fixes things up and they don't look just the way that we would like them to look. But hey, they're a lot more durable that way. And they last a whole lot longer. And they'll take the falls a lot better. And that's what God does. He's good that way. He's real good that way. I'm glad to have a father who's looking out for me and who knows what's best for me. And so I hope this was a help to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your wisdom. Thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes a little bit today for to show us the reasons why sometimes it seems like our prayers aren't getting answered. And thank you, Lord, for showing us what to do about that situation. Lord, we're glad to know that you're up there hoping that we'll come to you on a regular basis, daily even, and bringing all of our hopes and dreams and joys and desires to you and lining them up with your will as we learn from your word. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help each of us to have a better prayer life, to see the importance of it, to see how we need to know your will so that we can pray according to your will. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to appreciate the relationship we have with you as our Father and us down here as your children of God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.